I bring greetings as well from your brothers and sisters from Davao Covenant Reformed Church and also the Pearl of the Orient Covenant Church in the Philippines. It's a great privilege for me to stand before you this morning and to bring God's Word to this congregation. For our scripture reading, for our main text, let's turn our Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, which I believe in page 332 in your Bible. It says there that we will start reading verse 41, but I decided to start reading even before that verse, verse 38. So I'd like to read 1 Samuel chapter 17 from verse 38 to verse 50. And the whole chapter actually is it talks about this encounter between Israel and the army of Israel and the army of the Philistines. And the battle line has been drawn. And Israel was so scared. They were so afraid of facing the champion of the Philistines. And here comes David. He was sent by his father to visit his brothers in the battle line. And he was seeing this this battle and how the Philistines, particularly Goliath, was taunting the army of Israel and even taunting God. And so David, being a believer, he presented himself to fight against this Philistine champion. And beginning verse 38, we will see here that when Saul called him, when he was presented to King Saul, he was given this armor, which does not fit him. And so let's begin reading verse 38, and from there we will see how the battle actually went on. Beginning verse 38, congregation, let's listen to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. So for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Congregation of the Lord, as you may know, the Christian life is a battle. We have seen that particularly as it was being read earlier in from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Apostle Paul is quite clear that we are wrestling, not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, not just against human beings, but we are struggling, we're wrestling against powers and principalities and rulers of this dark age. And the battle can be tiresome, as you may know. The battle can be intimidating. The battle can be paralyzing. But the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, commands us, believers, to take up the whole armor of God and to stand in the strength of the Lord and in the power of His might, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The passage before us this morning is not primarily about David and his courage. Rather, it is about God. It is about His name. It is about His honor and fame and glory. In this context, in this story, the enemies of God and the enemies of God, of God's people as well, they taunt and they mock God. They mock the people of God. The people of God who were supposed to be facing and fighting the enemy with the weapons of God and with the faith in the living God and in His sovereign power, they're letting the enemies dishonor God. Saul, their king, had weapons, but they did not have the faith to face the enemy in the name of God. There were also the people of Israel and the army of Israel, but they all lacked the faith to face the enemy in the name and in the strength of the Lord. In the midst of this prevailing unbelief among God's people, there stood an ordinary man, a simple man, insignificant in the eyes of his own people, disregarded even by his brothers and his own household. Yet we see that he believed in God and was willing to stand for God against those who dishonor God's name. David is a man after God's own heart. He may be small and insignificant in the eyes of his own people, but God has given him great faith. His faith is great because the object of his faith is the great and awesome God who is mighty to save. That's the God that David worshiped, that David served, that David knew. He is the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Our passage today teaches us how God exalts his name by enabling David to defeat the Philistines, particularly to defeat Goliath. And how did David overcome this enemy and exalted God in the process? There are three things that we can learn from chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. How to give glory to God and how to exalt His name in the battle of life. We know, we recognize that every day we are struggling against sin. We're struggling against temptation. We're struggling against the world. We're struggling against the devil. These are the enemies of our souls. These are the enemies of the people of God. And if we are not aware of how they work, and if we do not know who God is or who we are as children of God, we will just always experience defeat in our lives. We need to have a clear vision of who God is and who we are before God as His own, as His people. There are many things that you and I can learn from this passage, but let us focus on three things that help believers in honoring God in the battles of life. First of all, in order to exalt God in our struggle, we need a spiritual perspective of the battle. We need to have a spiritual perspective of the battle. That's the first thing. Second, to glorify God in the battles of life, we need a personal and practical living faith in the living God. And third, to exalt God in life's struggle, we need a deliberate focus on God's glory and not our own. A deliberate focus on God's glory and not our own. First of all, God gave David a spiritual perspective of what's going on in chapter 17. The battle against the army of Israel and against the army of the Philistines. We need a spiritual perspective. From a human point of view, Goliath was a formidable foe. Look at verses 4 to 7. We did not have the time to read it, but that's how the writer describes Goliath. But that was precisely the problem. Saul and his soldiers were viewing the situation with Goliath from a human perspective. Look at verse 25. What did they say? Have you seen this man? They were allowing the human point of view of Goliath to go unchallenged. And even in verse 8, Goliath says, am I not the Philistine? And you, servants of Saul? Was that right? Yes, of course. From a human perspective, Goliath was Philistine's champion, and David and Israel were servants of Saul. From a human perspective. But David saw things from God's viewpoint. And he challenged what Goliath said. Look at verse 26 in the middle of the verse. And even in verse 36, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Did you catch the different perspective there? Goliath isn't just the Philistine. He is the uncircumcised Philistine. And the Israelites are not just the servants of Saul. They are primarily the armies of Israel. The armies of the living God. There's David's spiritual perspective. That's God's viewpoint. Saul and the armies of Israel were afraid because they saw the battle as a conflict of their strength against Goliath's mighty power, of their little weapons versus Goliath's impressive weapons, of their experience in warfare, and against Goliath's experience. But David saw it as a conflict between God and the forces of evil. Saul and his men saw Goliath and thought, he's so big, we can never kill him. And David saw Goliath, the same man, and thought, he's so big, I can't miss hitting him. I hope you see the humor there. We must understand that when David called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine, he wasn't calling him a dirty name. To be called uncircumcised was to be outside of the Abrahamic covenant and the promised blessing of God. Goliath was an outsider. He was unclean. He was an enemy of God. And thus, when David called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine, he was telling the Israelites, hey, you guys, this guy is an immortal pagan. He is outside of the covenant promise of God. And he has taunted the armies of the living God. David had a spiritual perspective on the battle. Brothers and sisters, if you were to kill some fearsome giants in your life, you must begin by calling it what God calls it. You will not conquer the enemy if you do not see things from God's perspective. Whatever the problem may be, if you want to conquer it and give glory to God, the first step is always to do what David did here, namely, to call it what God calls it, and to call yourself what God calls you. You are a child of God. As a congregation, we are the children of God. We are battling against powers and principalities who are against God, who are opposing God. This problem is not a Philistine champion. It is an uncircumcised Philistine. It is offensive to the living God. David is saying, I'm not just a servant of Saul. I am a member of the army of the living God. Congregation, you are the Lord's. You belong to God. You have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And the battle is the Lord's. That's the starting point for victory, for real victory in life and in ministry. And when we have trained our eyes, our faith, when we have trained our eyes to see things from God's perspective, we glorify God. A spiritual perspective. Secondly, to exalt God in our battles against the enemies, we need to remember that God has given us the faith. We have a personal, a practical, living faith in the living God. We need to trust God to deliver us in small things. You know what? Small victories now are important for victories in the future. Remember that this wasn't David's first faith experience with God. He had experienced the power of God working in him and through him before this encounter. Even while he was a boy, a teenager maybe, he had proven God's faithfulness and power in his own life experience. And being a good shepherd, when the lion and the bear had taken one of the sheep, David didn't say, oh well, that's the way it goes. I'm not going to risk my neck for that dumb little thing. He went after the beast. He grabbed it by the beard and slew it. He slew it. He killed it. Amazing. And then afterward, he didn't attribute it to good luck. Nor did he go around boasting about his exploits. I killed a bear. I killed a lion. He didn't do that. Rather, he only spoke of the incident here to convince King Saul that he could beat Goliath. That he was careful to attribute the victory not to himself, but to the Lord in whom he was consciously trusting. Look at verse 37. He said, the Lord delivered me, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's work, he said. He was attributing the victories and overcoming those lion and bear to God. Saul should have had that kind of faith. He had seen God provide victory in battle before, but Saul had a track record of partial obedience, which is really disobedience, if you come to think about it. Saul had drifted far from the reality of the personal faith which David knew. If Saul knew the reality of the Lord's presence, then he could have gone out and take off Goliath's head. I tell you, you must have the kind of personal, practical, living faith in God that which David had. And yet, David recognized, David knew that that faith, that boldness, that confidence does not come from him, but it comes from the living God. It's a gift from God. Faith enables us to fight whatever enemy or enemies we are facing in this life. It means that when the lion or bear or giant comes into your life, trying to destroy you, trying to distract you from your worship, from your service to God, instead of tolerating it in your life, you must recognize that you can't allow it to have its way. You must confront it and cut it off from your life. Either you destroy sin or sin will destroy you. Either you destroy pride or pride will slay you. And pride will slay you. That's what Jesus meant when he said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, cut it off. Or if your right hand causes you to stumble or causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. As you learn to confront sins in your life, you gain an experiential, practical, personal living faith that enables you to defeat the enemies, the giants in your life and ministry, and thus glorify our living God. And not only that, you need a faith in the living God Himself, not in human methods. David's faith was in the living God and not in what he has done, nor in what he can do. If you've noticed in verse 37, after Saul says to David, may the Lord be with you, Saul shows where his trust really lies when he tries to outfit David in his own armor. Verses 38 to 39. He tried to put his own armor to David. That's the way some believers work or live in this life. That's their way. You fight the enemy, you try to defeat sin, you try to slay greed or pride or lust in your life with all of the latest techniques and methods, with some religious cliches tacked on to make it sound spiritual. You devise your own method or your own way to overcome or to fight the enemy or to fight sin. Many Christians today face enemies in their lives, temptations and sins, which the Bible tells how to deal with. But instead of turning to the Bible, which shows how to trust in the living God, they turn to the wisdom and philosophies of the world with some Bible verses thrown into it to make it sound spiritual. Boys and girls, picture the humor here. David gets all this armor on and he can't move. He looks like a kid dressed up for cold weather, like here in Sioux Falls. Having over 5 layers of clothes. And he's as stiff as a zombie. He wouldn't move. And so he takes it off. That's not gonna work, he said. And then please notice in verse 40, he does use a method. He has his own weapon. 5 smooth stones. Maybe he needed 5 in case he missed. And his shepherd's sling, plus a stick, his staff. And I don't know what he planned to do with that. Maybe he wanted to poke Goliath. That won't work. But the method and the weapon David used was consistent with his faith in the living God and with the glory and power of God. I mean, compared to javelin and spear, what's a stick? What's a sling? Nothing. David didn't magnify his sling or his own expertise, but rather he magnified the Lord. That's what he said. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you," here's his weapon, "in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He didn't say, "I come before you with my sling and my staff," but "in the name of the Lord of hosts." That's what David said. We can picture him nodding his head back toward the faithless cowards of Israel, as he says in verse 47, "that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword or spear." He was looking at the Israelites. "That all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword or spear." There's nothing wrong with the method, as long as the method is consistent with the way and the principle of the Word of God, and it does not detract from the Lord's glory and power. And as long as you trust, your trust is truly in the living God and not in your slick method. The way to defeat foes in your life is not by some latest technique. We trust God. We trust in His faithful word of promise. And thus, in order to exalt God in the battle in our lives, we need a spiritual perspective and a personal, practical faith in the living God. And we know, my dear brothers and sisters, that these spiritual resources are from God. It does not come from us. It was not conceived by human wisdom. These are gifts from God. Spiritual perspective, personal, practical, living faith. Finally, to exalt God in the battle of life, we need a deliberate focus on God's glory, not our own. Just notice that when David heard Goliath's taunt, he didn't think to himself, "Hey, here's the opportunity for me that I've been waiting for. I'm going to be a hero here. I'll be tax exempt. Here's my chance to win a fortune and to become a national hero." He didn't think like that. Rather, he was concerned about God's glory. God's name was bound up with His people. And as long as this uncircumcised Philistine taunted God's people, God Himself was being taunted. That's how David argued. That's how David said in verses 45 to 47, "You're not just taunting the army of Israel, you're taunting God." That's what he was telling Goliath. That's what happens when you allow sin, when you allow the enemy to reign or to control in your life. Sin is offensive to God. When you sin and continue in it and not repent from it, you allow the world to desecrate the name of God and the name of Christ. You bear Christ's name. You are bound up with God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We've learned in the book of Acts that when you persecute the church, at least the Apostle Paul particularly, when you persecute the church, you go against the head of the church. Paul learned this truth on his way to Damascus while persecuting the disciples of Christ and seeking to drag them off and put them to prison. God's name is bound up with His people. And so David was moved with righteous indignation because God's honor was being dragged through the mud when Goliath defied the armies of the living God. David cannot take it. David will not accept it. David here is like the Lord Jesus, who, seeing the Israelites desecrating the temple of God, turning the holy place into a market, was driven with zeal for the house of God. And like Christ, David did not let the name of God to be defiled or blasphemed by the ungodly. He didn't allow the glory of God to be diminished. In contrast, if you've noticed, Saul, King Saul, was more concerned for his own name and reputation rather than the glory of God. Remember in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, if you're going through 1 Samuel, in chapter 15, verse 12, after he won a victory, he set up a monument for himself. A monument for himself. That's what verse 12, chapter 15 says. Outwardly, he practiced religion for the sake of a good appearance. That's what Paul or Saul likes to do. But his real motive was his own honor, not the honor of the Lord, who is called in chapter 15, the glory of Israel. God is the glory of Israel. One sure mark of a nominal believer or a hired hand who is out for his own glory is that he gets jealous over the success of other Christians. When David became popular after his victory over Goliath, Saul should have rejoiced that God's name had been vindicated and God's purpose had been delivered, or God's people had been delivered from the enemies, from the oppressive enemies. But instead, he sulked. He tried to bring David down because he was motivated by promoting himself and not the Lord. He was not happy that Israel won the battle. He was burning with fear and hatred. He wanted to kill David. And that brings us to one important question. Why do you want to slay the giants in your life? Why do you want to win the battle against sin and the world and the devil? Why do you present yourself for ministry? Why do you want to be successful in life? So that you'll be great and satisfied and happy? That's a wrong motive. Do you want to overcome your problems so that people will look up to you or think of you highly as someone who is an expert? Wrong motive. Do you want to overcome sin? Do you want to overcome obstacles and win battles so that you can build a large ministry, a large following, and become known as a great leader? Wrong motive. David publicly states why he wanted to defeat Goliath. Look at verses 46 and 47. First, he presented himself to fight the enemy so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That was his motive. That all the earth may know, he said, that there is a God in Israel. David wanted the unbelieving Philistines to see that God is real and that he is mighty to save those who trust him. For God's name to be known among unbelievers was foremost for David. But secondly, David wanted all the professing believers, the covenant people of God who weren't really trusting God. He said in verse 47 that this assembly, he wanted them to know that the Lord does not deliver by the slickest methods, sword and spear. But he said the battle is the Lord's. Victory belongs to the Lord. Victory is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. That's what he said in verse 47. The reason you ought to desire to topple the giants, the sins, the enemies in your lives is that they drag God's honor through the mud, and you truly want God's name to be lifted up and honored in spite of and even through your own weakness. You should want lost people to see how God helps you in conquering every overwhelming problem by trusting His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by fighting sin and temptation in the power of the Holy Spirit. trusting in God's Son, who is greater than David. You want the world to know that Christ has conquered sin and death for us and for our sake. Not with a sword or spear or any other means, but by His death. So that they, the believers, those who put their trust in the Lord, may live by faith, may live in confidence of the living God. You want to tell the world that all the power and authority belong to the Lord, that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is heaven's champion. He is our mighty warrior. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But you should not only be concerned for God's name to be honored among unbelievers. We should also want other believers who are locked into a human perspective, who aren't really trusting God, and who are living to promote themselves rather than God. You want them to see how God Himself will work on behalf of those who trust Him and seek His glory. Then they too will trust in the Lord, and the Lord will all the more be glorified through them. Remember this, congregation. You glorify God in the battles of life by having a spiritual perspective of the battle. You glorify God also by having a personal, real, living faith in the living God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you exalt the name of God by deliberately directing your victories, your obedience, your success to the praise and the glory of God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, says the psalmist. But to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. May God be glorified as you seek to win battles in the name of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by His grace. Amen.